The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
Listening to Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
Let me talk to you. What is going on, peeps? Welcome to episode 139 of the Pretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. Today, I am reviewing Monday Night Raw from December 27th, 1999. It is the last Raw of the century, the last Raw of the millennium before we get to the year 2000. I sure hope that the WWE is Y2J compliant. This episode of Raw is historic for a really sad reason, but it also sets up one of the best WWE title matches in Royal Rumble history. It's time for Pick Slip on a Pole. Let's go. Now, a little bit more housekeeping before I get on the rest of the show. Housekeeping, you want towel? Housekeeping, you want to jerk you off? I'm going to keep using that bit because Tommy Boy is my all-time favorite movie, Sue Me. So I have dabbled in discussions about what I'm doing for the month of December, and I've actually really narrowed down exactly what the plan is going to be. Next week, one more episode of Raw, and then when we get to December, there is going to be a two-part Pretz's Fave 5 special as I break down my top 10 matches of 2023. You're probably going to know what most of them are and where some of them are placed, but I've actually already made the list because I watched Full Gear. I didn't see any Match of the Year candidates on there. I'm sorry. And, yeah, after that, I'll take a little break for the holidays. Maybe I'll do something for New Year's because that will mark my 5th year anniversary in podcasting. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And now, where's my remote control? As we go grapple surfing, see what else is going on in the wacky world of wrestling in 99. On this very night, we have WCW Monday Nitro from the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. The site of WrestleMania X7 also had a Lethal Lottery Tag Team Tournament. Oh, good gravy. Nasty Boy Brian Knobbs beat Bam Bam Bigelow in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Buzzkill Brad Armstrong and Mike Rotunda, accompanied by the rest of Varsity Club, beat Dean Malenko and Conan, accompanied by the rest of the Filthy Animals, in a first round Lethal Lottery Tag Team Title Tournament match. Oy. Tank Abbott beat Virgil by knockout in just under a minute. Lash LaRue and Midnight beat Harlem Heat in a tag team title Lethal Lottery Tournament match. Bret Hart beat Jerry Flynn to retain the WCW title. I keep thinking I'm going to get to Bret Hart's last match because Starrcade was in very recent history here. We all know what happened at Starrcade 99. And I keep not seeing what his last match is. It might be into the year 2000. Speaking of things that are so 2000, we had EG13. That's JC Ice and Wolfie D. Wolfie D, who used to wrap the Nation of Domination to the ring in 96, early 97. We Are the Nation, live and in color. Farouk is the man, something, something. Yeah, they used to routinely get their asses kicked by Ahmed Johnson. I feel really bad for those guys. By the way, they defeated Berlin, that is Big Bratwurst Alex Wright, and Rick Steiner by disqualification in a Lethal Lottery tournament match. Asia and Norman Smiley, that's a tag team. They beat Jim Duggan and Perry Saturn in another Lethal Lottery tag team match. Excuse me, Jeff Jarrett beat Kidman to retain the U.S. title. The Harris Twins, now known as the Harris Twins finally, not Creative Control, they beat the team of Fit Finley and Mang by countout in another Lethal Lottery match. Yeah, Finley and Mang are two people who top every list of wrestlers you'd never want to F with. Crowbar and David Flair with Daphne, RIP, defeated Evan Courageous and Vampiro, accompanied by Shane Helms and Shannon Moore. So I guess three counts already here. Another Lethal Lottery match. Buff Bagwell and Canyon, who better than Canyon, beat Big Vito and Disco Inferno, accompanied by Johnny the Bull and Tony Marinara, Tony Mamalute. Lethal Lottery match. And okay, Kevin Nash with Bret Hart and Jeff Jarrett beat Sid Vicious and the Wall Brother in a tag team title Lethal Lottery tournament first round 2-on-1 handicap match. Oh, Russo. Well, I have no words. I'm going to need to finish my coffee before I get on the rest of this. Excuse me. I really should have Irished up that coffee, but it's 8:47 in the morning, and I'm not about that. So now we have SmackDown. December 30th, 1999, from the Richmond Coliseum in Richmond, Virginia. Prince Albert and the Big Boss Man beat Test in a handicap match. Kurt Angle beat Rikishi in just under a minute. I imagine there were some shenanigans here. Jeff Hardy beat Al Snow. The Hollies beat Moolah and Mae Young. Seriously, they... Oh, boy. The McMahon-Helmsley regime is truly here. The Rock beat Kane in a no-holds-barred match. Chris Jericho versus China for the IC title ended in a draw. Farouk beat Bubba Ray Dudley by DQ. Jacqueline and Viscera beat Gangrel and Luna. And D-Generation X, represented by the New Age Outlaws and X-Pac, beat The Big Show in a handicap match where X-Pac's job is on the line. Yeah, the regime is really twisting the knife here with this one. And speaking of the regime, they kick off Monday Night Raw with the rest of D-Generation X. Oh, my goodness. And those huge Triple H and Steph banners are still on the stage, and I thought that was hilarious. Triple H's iconic barcode t-shirt was being worn here, and the slut chants rained down here from the Greensboro faithful in Greensboro, North Carolina. Triple H says this is the last Raw of the millennium. The McMahon-Helmsley regime runs Raw. Yeah, you clearly run SmackDown and maybe Sunday Night Heat. I think Metal, Jacked, and even Shotgun Saturday Night, they might all still be a thing at this point in time. You haven't touched Super Astros. Anyone listening who is from anywhere near Mexico or somewhere in the southern United States and you know WWE Super Astros, hit me up. Triple H says that what has happened in the WWE in the last 1,000 years doesn't matter. What matters is the here and now. Okay, so Abe Lincoln versus George Washington Carver for the Peanut Butter Championship at WrestleMania -152 doesn't matter, Triple H. Learn your history, you bellend. Oy. He says that we are the be-all and end-all. Blah, 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 something, something, the game that damn good, blah, blah, blah. He sets his eyes and his sights on the WWE Championship. Gerard begins to chant Rocky. No, you marks, Big Show is the champion right now. Seriously, learn your present. Triple H says that he is the champ of the new millennium. Stephanie grabs the mic, slut, 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 and sets her sights on Kane and Mankind. You know, Mankind was talking about a mutiny, rebel rousing, unionizing. Hey, you already had union early in 1999, although that was the up yours Shane faction with Pest, the Big Show, Ken Shamrock, Union, the complete with a work whistle as their freaking entrance theme. That was a thing. Mankind, without his mask, comes down to the ring here, and he says that he used to think DX was kind of cool, as it was almost a year to the day. Actually, tomorrow will be exactly 1 year, December 28th, 1998, when DX paraded me around the ring on their shoulders as I won my first WWE championship. And now, I don't see a bunch of cool guys. I see a bunch of gutless cowards. Foley singles out Road Dogg and calls him one of the most creative minds in the WWE, being Triple H's lapdog. He calls Mr. Ass an ass kisser, and something about X-Pac being thrown to the wolves. Maybe this is pertaining to his current feud with Kane. Mick Foley says that Triple H, yeah, you're after the WWE title. And if you win the championship, he warns DX that he will leave them high and dry. And then he has a message for Steph. Oh, by the way, Steph, the Godfather has a message for you. Go join the rest of the hoes backstage. They take umbrage to this, of course, and start to beat down Mankind. Rock makes the save, and he begins to clean house. As DX are scarpering, being chased up the ramp, Triple H says that this place isn't big enough for the three of us. What is this, AEW? Come on, Hunter. Triple H and Steph then book a pink slip on a pull match between Foley and Rock. Loser of this match, of course, gets the pink slip, and they're fired. Next stage, Kane is waiting for Tori to bring him Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast. Our opening contest is China versus Crash Holly. Oh boy, here we go. So on SmackDown, during an Intercontinental Championship match, Crash inadvertently causes a disqualification with Bob Holly. China comes to the ring here and cleans house. Jericho still thinking it's weird that China is all of a sudden helping him. To kick off this match, Crash Holly Pearl Harbors China. Bob joins commentary. Oh, my goodness. He's like, hey, Crash better win this match. China hits the handspring elbow, and we are told that Corey has arrived to the building. Oh, thanks for the news, JR. We just had to know that Tori is back from her sex holiday with X-Pac. Hooray. China wins with the sleeper drop, and then Bob's like, he just got beat by a woman. You got beat by a girl. What the hell is wrong with you? Kane and Tori embrace backstage, and Tori's like, I gotta tell you about my weekend. It was fabulous. What? X-Pac is a gentleman, and I honored your commitment by cheating on him. All I thought about was you while X-Pac was drilling me. And Corey is being way too hipper, way too enthusiastic. She cheated on him. It's obvious. Then they run into Brooklyn Brawler and Test. Test, you know, go feebly, I may add, kind of like arm around Tori. I'm just like, don't walk up to a girl and just do that. No, man. Just no. Speaking from experience, no, don't do that. Test scares Tori and she just runs off. Yeah, I get it. Next up, we are the Mean Street Posse. Yes. This show is a 8 out of 10. If I see Steve Blackman and Kurt Angle, we're going to get a 12 out of 10. We have a Four Corners tag team match here with the Acolytes, Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, and Supply and Demand, the team of D'Lo Brown and the Godfather. So this match has the benefit of having the Mean Street Posse as a timekeeper, a ref, and the ring announcer, Pete Gass, the timekeeper, Joey Abs, the ref, with a vest over top of the referee jersey. You should have just left the vest on with the... That would have made it funny, come on. And Rodney is your special guest ring announcer, who, of course, is talking trash while introducing our participants. We got D'Lo, Pimp Wannabe, Rubberneck Brown, the Godfather, Pimpin' Ain't Easy, but his hoes are... Yeah, the Dudley Boys, who are brothers from different mothers, the Dudley Boys, and Hedge and Christian, who are two pretty boys always fighting for mirror space. Then he says, oh, last but not least, the greatest tag team of all time, our good friends, the Acolytes. And Pete just stamps this friendship by having a big-ass cigar at ringside. They're kissing up to the not APA yet here because, well, the Mean Street Posse have been victims of the Acolytes' abuse, and, well, quite frankly, it is very warranted. It's very much deserved. So this match is just a bit of a cluster. We got D'Lo Brown with the Sky High on Bubba, Ron with the Spinebuster, and Posse jerk JBL off the apron, allowing the Dudley Boys to hit the 3DB, the back suplex neckbreaker, and Pete Gass comes in with a huge... No, it had to be Joey Abs. Yeah, or Gass. One of them. One of the posse slide into the ring here, do the fastest fast count of all time. Guest ref mode is unlocked in No Mercy. And you all screwed your friends in guest referee mode. I know you all did. As I did too. The Mean Street Posse set up the not APA yet here, and Bradshaw comes in with an unprotected chair shot to Rodney's skull. They hit the double spine buster and a double power bomb to the posse for good measure. Backstage, Kane and Tori are talking, and it's like she says, "Test, he touched me. He inappropriately. He didn't. He was looking at me and said things. No, he didn't. He violated me. So she hugs Kane. Kane just screams in agony about visual comedy. He's like, I mean, his girlfriend is traumatized, but I'm sorry, folks. I'm not making light of trauma here in the slightest. This is a scripted sports entertainment show. This is a soap opera. This literally storyline is a frigging soap opera. And just the visual of a man in a mask where you can't see his mouth move. You can't see him really emote. Early Kane is the master of body language. And that's something that should teach a body language psychology course, which I should learn from because I suck at body language. And yeah, just the visual of, I have to go on here because I'm going to keep laughing at Kane's scream of while hugging his girl. Anyways, backstage, Triple H and Steph are bragging about this ring that Triple H got her for Christmas. Less than a month into their, we're like, well, they're married, but they also started dating at the same time. Not IRL, that's a little bit down the line, but it's, yeah, shotgun wedding here. You got a big ring. They're bragging about it. And he says, it's time for Kurt Angle's streak to end. I'm going to put him in a handicap match with the Headbangers because that'll get him a win. And tell Steve Blackman not to interfere. Kane barges into the room here. I want Test. I think he was supposed to have X-Pac tonight, but no, I want Test. Change the match. Triple H is like, yeah, okay, don't come in here and scream at me. You got the match, blah, blah, blah. Kurt Angle versus the Headbangers. Okay, this show's a 9.5 out of 10. We're getting there. This is good. Angle, of course, talks about the three eyes. And he says that this city is not very intelligent. But you have lots of intensity and integrity, so 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And this match here is just the Headbangers try to take advantage of Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle also tries to beat them off. Phrasing, not that. Cut that. And it's in. So Steve Blackman comes out to the ring here. Saves the show. 12 out of 10. Mean Street Posse. Kurt Angle. Steve Blackman. I'm set. The rest of this raw can be as sad as possible. And I'm saved for this show. Blackman, kendo sticks to Mosh, half Nelson pin, say that 5 times fast, and Kurt Angle continues his undefeated streak. Yeah, Posse, Blackman, Angle, top 5 show of all time. Cole and Mankind have an interview backstage. Mankind says that this is the dumbest thing ever, this match stupid, and I hate myself for going through it. You know, it's no secret that my career is winding down and The Rock's best days are ahead of him. But I got to do what I got to do, you know, for the betterment of my family. Next up here, we have Al Snow versus Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental title. During Al Snow's entrance, we see the orange beeps and the flashing screen. The mood is about to change, that whole thing. Cut the music. Al Snow rants about being away from home from his beautiful wife and kids, and that he hates us all, and that's not something that a writer backstage told him to write. I truly hate all of you. Jericho interrupts. Welcome to Raw is Jericho. Jericho makes fun of him for whining, and we go into this match. It's decent back and forth action here. Triangle dropkick. Al Snow actually hits the snowplow, and it appears that he was going to win this match. But then China gives Al Snow head. That's a line from JR. And King's like, what did you just say? And Al Snow wins via disqualification, but does not win the IC title. It is not a Canadian rules match. There's a lot of innuendo on these shows. It was funny that just a couple of weeks ago at Armageddon, JR was calling out the King for making penis innuendos. JR, you just said penis. And then JR clearly references fellatio right here. Funny stuff. Speaking of funny stuff, here is Mark Henry and Harvey Whippleman are backstage. And Mark's like, man, I need a favor from you. I got a lot of sexual frustration pent up. Not with you, fool. Get over here. I need you to come with me on a double date with Moolah and Mae Young. And Harvey's like, with Mae? Oh, hell no. The only way I'll date Moolah is if she gets me in an inescapable wrestling hold and then is immediately grabbed by the ear. Say what you will about Moolah. She was a piece of shit, but this is funny. He's like, I'll get you in a scissor that you'll never get out of. Phrasing. Next up, The Rock and Mick Foley pink slip on a pole match. Seriously, is Russo a double agent? Was he working for both feds at this point in time? He follows me on Twitter. I'll try and ask him this, and he'll probably say, do a big old two-part tweet rant and then block me. Why does Russo follow me on Twitter? That's weird. That's funny. King says, hey, JR, you've been fired from here a couple times. What's that like? That's nice. DX are backstage with a charcuterie board watching on a tiny little monitor. Mankind is jerked off the top of the pole. Giggity. Al Snow gives Rock head. I did it for The Rock. So this match is no disqualification. Al Snow encourages Mankind to climb the pole and get the pink slip. But Mankind won't do it. He's not going to do this way. He is going to win the right way. He beats down Al Snow. We get a rock bottom. We get a low blow by Mick. A double arm DDT. He gets out the Socko. He climbs. No, he gets out the Socko. Mankind does. He begins to climb. And The Rock yeets Mick out of the ring. Grabs the pink slip. And Mankind is done. Mankind's career in the WWE is over in an anticlimactic match that I think even with the benefit of hindsight, 24 years ago, we knew there was something else cooking. But me being a 15 and a half year old Mark, I wasn't smart to it yet. I was livid. I love Mick Foley. I love The Rock too, but I love Mick Foley as well. Like, Mankind was always the comic foil. He was the comedy in wrestling I didn't know that I needed, because I always thought wrestling was just competition. But of course, we know what's going to happen here. I'm actually going to review that episode of SmackDown where Mankind transforms into Cactus Jack. I might need some help on that one. Hint, hint, Nate. Maybe. So The Rock, he just leaves in a huff. Mick accepts his fate. He grabs the ring, the mic, good Lord. He says, there is never any shame in losing to The Rock, but I hate how it came about. You know, I was thinking about retiring sometime in the year 2000. According to my math, it is still 1999. And what happened kinda sucks. I've given you lots to remember me by, whether it's being Mankind or Cactus Jack. Eyes emoji. This whole thing's a farce. Have a nice day. Backstage, Mick is saying goodbye to some of the boys, Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Godfather. And then we get a very unusual match. Another Four Corners one, by the way. This is the second Four Corners match of the night. Well, three, if you count the double date with Move Up. No, that's a four. Never mind. Four Corners of the Bedpost between Harvey Wolpman and Moolah. I spoiled it. Never mind. Going on. Val Venus and the Cat versus Viscera and Jackie versus Albert and Ivory versus the real life couple of Gangrel and Luna. Fanging and banging. Let's go. Gangrel spits blood like he's Hangman Page. That was gross, by the way. Not feeling that. We get a Baldo bomb. Val scissor kicks Val and just boom, wins. Bunch of guys get their spot in this match, and just like that, it's over. We see the double date at some random restaurant where Mark is reading one of his infamous poems to Mae Young. Harvey tries poetry. He's like, roses are red, violets are blue, my breath stinks, and yours does too. Hey, points for honesty. That's one thing that y'all need in relationships. And that's honesty. And I'm saying that as a single man who hasn't been in a relationship in a long, long, long time. Backstage, Mick says goodbye to the production truck and Bucktooth camera zoom man himself, Kevin Dunn. And we get another match here with X-Pac and Jeff Hardy. Rematch from Monday Night Raw in 1995, and a rematch from King of the Ring 2001. And tonight, Monday Night Raw is brought to you by WWF The Music Volume 4, Snickers, and Tomb Raider Last Revelation for the PS1. I don't remember that game. Jeff gets a spiral tap, but is denied. X-Pac Spagingo, ding, back body drop on Jeff. We see a bunch of chops, a suplex, and a top rope, nothing by X-Pac. Jeff's beautiful springboard moonsault and his head scissors. And then X-Pac begins stalking Harry, grabbing his crotch and making gestures towards her. And then Terry gets on all fours to set up the poetry in motion by Jeff Hardy. Enziguri, Swanton bomb, but because Swanton is not officially his finisher, I believe it was the 450, X-Pac kicks out. Low blow, X-Factor, boo. At the double date, a Mark asks Mark for an autograph. Really? When he's eating. I mean, that's about as bad as stalking wrestlers at an airport, knowing what their departure times are, and surrounding them after a long-ass flight with a bunch of paintings that you're going to sell because all you marks don't have a real job. Don't do that. Go to meet and greets. Maybe if you see them out in the wild and they're not, like, eating with their family, then, like, say, hey, is it okay if wrestling fans really fucking piss me off? So this Mark asks Mark for an autograph and also asks him why he's such a loser. But then Moolah and Mae Young storm this guy and beat the shit out of him. Maybe airport security should hire these people. Maybe the Oscars and the Rhea Ripley's of this world just need to bring a grizzled old vet like Moolah and Mae Young. Bring back Ivory. Ivory wouldn't put up with that shite for a second. And she's legit. She'll F you all the way up. Then we have Kane versus Test for reasons. Test has been the brunt of all the jokes as of late in the WWE, from commentary, from people in the crowd, and from when Cultaholic reviewed this era of SmackDown in the Classic Review. It was always the Test being bad at Nintendo 64 jokes. Like, Steph, I can't beat King Bubblegum in Mario 64. If you listen to them, you'll understand this. But I'm a huge, huge fan. You all know I love Tom Campbell and Matthew and all them. That's kind of why I review these classic episodes myself. So Tori is, of course, traumatized here, just kind of sticking around Kane, but also being paranoid for other reasons, holding in the secret that she banged X-Pac. And 1-800-COLLECT brings you the Royal Rumble in the year 2000. I can't wait to review that one. Test grabs the mic and says, hey, I didn't touch her. I got enough woman problems right now. I don't need another. Tell your lady that she needs a Midol or a Prozac to chill out. Sucks to be you. I know, I know. Nope, not that Prozac. And you're going to fight me for no reason? I'm not going to back down. So Kane yeets the steps right at Test. Is that a DQ? He shoves Jimmy Corderas and then gets disqualified. And then Kane tombstones Test. And Tori just climbs on top of Test and begins to slap him. Why did this exist? Mick is saying goodbye to the agents, to Tony Garea and Briscoe. Triple H sees this on the monitor and says, like, okay, that's it. He's fired. Get him out of here. Get security. Just get this over with. Cole's backstage with the Big Show, who has no intention of losing, and says that Triple H is the master at games. So I guess Triple H was playing Mario 64 and got all of the stars and the Yoshi and God knows what else that even I couldn't do. New Age Outlaws versus Too Cool for the Tag Titles is up next. X-Pac accompanying them to the ring here, so you just know there's going to be shenanigans. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, shut up. Shout out to Wrestling Bios. We got the Worm on the road, dog. This Worm move is starting to get really over with the crowd. We're not quite at WORM, but we are getting close. I have a feeling that New York started that. That's an MSG thing to do. So Grandmaster Sexay gets the skull-crushing finale and the Tennessee leg jam, but there is no ref. X-Factor comes in here. X-Pac comes in here. X-Factors. And the Outlaws retain, for freak's sakes, man. Rikishi hits the Rikishi driver on Road Dogg. X-Pac with a heel kick on Rikishi, but then he eats a belly-to-belly suplex, teases the bonsai, but the Outlaws save X-Pac from being pancaked by the big man. Too Cool and Rikishi then dance to get the crowd back into this. Backstage, Triple H kicks out Mick Foley. You're fired. Leave. Get out of here. Then we see Mark and Mae Young in bed. And in the bed next to them, Harvey and Moolah. Mark and May are just, you know, being all lovey-dovey. And then Moolah here with the line of the night. It's like, oh, for F's sakes, enough with the lovey-dovey crap. What happened to good old-fashioned American sex? And then Harvey Whippleman is just like, this, like a hyperactive squirrel. Just like, yeah, like a mugging to the camera, like, yeah, I did that. I did her. Gross. I mean, hey, you're in your 70s and you're still getting down. Good on you, but no thank you. It's time for the main event. Triple H versus The Big Show for the WWE title. On the way to the ring, Triple H is like, oh, by the way, Big Show, this match is no DQ. And it was around here when Hunter was messing with Mankind that my true pure hatred for Triple H really took off. I mean, I despised him as the blue blood, as I called him when I was 12 years old, the prissy sissy. I despised him from this point on until, I don't know, I think I dug his babyface run in 02, and then when he turned on Shawn Michaels again, I never liked Triple H. Even to this day, there is still a bit of that attitude era resentment towards him. As a businessman, I mean, we are NXT and everything else and creative now. I love him, but the competitor, he was the guy I always, always rooted against. So this match here is a big walk and brawl, Big Show with a bunch of headbutts. He misses a Brett's rope elbow drop. Ref goes down, which means nothing in a no DQ match. Out comes DX. Get a belt shot on the big man. He kicks out. Sidewalk slam on Triple H. A power slam. But they sweep the referee out of the ring. Show cleans house of D-Generation X. And during that schmoz, Stephanie brings a chair into the ring. But then Mankind sneaks in to low blow Triple H with a chair, choke slam. And the Big Show is still the WWF champion. Thank goodness. For Mick Foley. I thought this was when Triple H won the title, but I think we have to wait a week or two for that to happen. So, that is it for this one, folks. Thank you very much for listening. If you made it this far, congratulations. You can follow me on a lot of social media platforms. From Twitter to Instagram, the Blue Sky and Threads, whenever I'm on them, at Fretzelmania. That's FRETZLEmania. This podcast is on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The Cure for the Common Wrestling Podcast. We have Discord. We have merch. We have Patreon. Check out all those things in the link. Description of this podcast. So until next time, PTFN, ta-ta for now, and keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.